This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
Truly awe-inspiring, the performances on the world's biggest stage with the pure talent, the dedication, and a relentless pursuit of the highest degree of athletic excellence. Tonight on Sports Talk, live from Yogi's, a Hoosier homecoming for Lily with her gold medals too. Blake with his life-changing moments, Olympic gold medalists for the rest of their lives. We relive the journey that started for both in Omaha at the Olympic trials earlier in the summer. It's IU cream and crimson, Team USA red, white, and blue, and that beautiful color gold for Lily and Blake as we have them on this special night, and we thank all of the fans that have showed out to support them as well. Welcome to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's along with producers Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, engineer Jamie Till, on-site producers Joanne and Mike Glasscott, and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith. And, well, guys, welcome back. Lily, Blake, second week of classes now. I mentioned life-changing moments for both of you, but we'll start with Lily and Blake. How's it been settling back in now that you're just plain old IU student-athletes? Lily?
Yeah, it's great to be back in Bloomington. You know, back in the U.S. is always a great thing. Being gone for about 2 months, it was kind of got a little tiring, but it was a great experience, but I'm so glad to be back.
We'll have fun tonight. How about you, Blake? What's it been like since you've been back?
Yeah, I mean, living in a hotel for the past month was really wearing on me, and getting back to my bed and my teammates and stuff, and it was nice to be back.
You know, guys, I kind of want to start, and let's kind of revisit the starts, really, of your careers. Both of you have been on here at Yogi's before. I think we had you on. A matter of fact, I know we did after the Big Tens and prior to the NCAA's last winter. But, you know, you both started out in Indiana swimming in club program, Lily down in the Greater Evansville Club, and then the old Newburgh Sea Creatures, Dunlin for you. Then the high school careers, both at Evansville Wrights and Chesterton. You came up. You both were Indiana State age group and high school champions, and then you got a taste at an early age. Blake, you went to Dubai on that 2013 Junior World Championships, 18 and under national champs and junior national champs, and then both of you were over in Hawaii in 2014 at the Junior Pan Pacs for Team USA. Lily, you were over in South Korea at the 2015 World University Games. But the question, and here you sit, as Olympians, but when did, guys, being a U.S. Olympian really become a goal of yours, Lily? Can you think back?
Yeah, it was definitely a goal from the very beginning. You know, it's the highest, I guess, spot in our sport. Like, you know, any little leaguer wants to be in the MLB. That's kind of what it is for us. We all want to be Olympians. So I think for me, it started at a very early age.
How about you, Blake?
Same. It's a goal that I've had for a very, very long time, but I didn't think it was something that I could realistically achieve until probably a past year or two.
You know, I got to ask both of you, too. You're both just so well-driven in winning, in being successes. You work your tails off. That showed a few weeks ago down in Rio de Janeiro. But, Lily, what drives you to compete and win at the highest level? Having had that early success or exposure, if you will, to not only what you did in the state at Wrights but what you did at the international level.
Yeah, definitely. I really hate to lose, so that's part of what drives me so much. And I just love to work hard at practice, so I don't know. That's just kind of been how I always am. I just love to win and hate when people beat me.
Well, Blake, you saved some of your quickest times. We'll get to that at the trials in Omaha. What you were doing in the 100 was, mind-boggling. But what about you? At an early age, was there a period during the same time frame that we kind of outlined that you thought about, this is where I want to go, this is what I have to do to compete at the highest level?
I think partially competitiveness is probably something that you're, somewhat born with. But also I have everything to owe to my coaches, my age group coach, high school coach, and now collegiate coaches to really improve on that competitiveness and turn it into something amazing.
You know, we talk, and let's kind of survey the Olympic trials out in Omaha, and we often hear that really it's the hardest meet. I mean, the trials, the environment was different. I can remember being with the Hoosiers playing a basketball game at CenturyLink out in Omaha, and the facility, a basketball arena, as opposed to, a college pool, the number of spectators, and the length of the meet, 8 days versus three or four, Lily, and swimming prelims, semis, and finals. I mean, most meets are prelims and finals with no semis, but was it weird? Talk a little about that that venue out there and how you adjusted.
Yeah, it was a little weird, but also really exciting. It's a meet like no one's ever been to before. That's the only meet that's like that. You know, it really is kind of like going to a basketball game. So we walk in and the pool's completely dark. And then the lights start going and the music starts playing and there, you know, thousands and thousands of fans. And it's a pretty crazy thing. And I think the main difference between trials and the Olympics is that trials is kind of such a dark meet, like very high pressure and stressful. But the Olympics is like so bright and colorful and everyone's really glad to be there. But it doesn't really seem like anyone's too terribly stressed out at the Olympics. But trials is definitely quite the experience.
Was it well attended? It was hard to tell on television out in Omaha.
Oh yeah, I think there was like 14,000 people there or something.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I think it was sold out pretty much every night.
Well, let me ask you guys, how did you kind of, that being said, with everything kind of packaged into, 8 days, how did you manage your energy, your race strategy and recovery over the 8 days as opposed to a shorter period of time in the Olympics?
Right, well, I mean, it's definitely a skill that you got to work on to be able to execute like you want to, but Mike really helped me with that, you know, conserving the energy and really using it where you need to and, you know, resting and all kinds of recovery stuff. And then Cody Miller was there with us. And he had been to two Olympic trials before that one. So he was a great teammate there and had a lot of advice for us.
You know, we were talking a little about what you accomplished, Blake. You had three straight PRs in the 100 free. And that time of 48, I think it was 48.78, that sixth place got you on the relay team in Rio, and you went in the 23rd seed. So, I mean, it was kind of a mini Olympics for you. What was the feeling like knowing after what you accomplished, how fast you were, that you were going to Rio de Janeiro?
Well, I mean, the first swim, I thought, you know, my shot would be in the 200 freestyle, and then, you know, that didn't go as planned, but then I swam, you know, best time in the 100 free, and Ray and Mike were like, you know, just we'll see what the next one brings and, you know, give it your best again. And I had another best time. And then I was in the final and I was like, wow, like I have to be two people to make the Olympic team. You know, it was incredible.
Was there a memorable moment then when you found out, take us back, what was it like when you actually realized that, you know what, I got a chance and I'm on team USA?
The USA national team director, Frank Bush, called me over and I walked up to him and he said that you're going to like this conversation, and he handed me a letter that said I would be competing for Team USA in the Olympics.
Lily, talk a little about your game plan too, you know, managing, and you've done this so well to date in your outstanding career, your race strategy and your recovery and your energy. How did it all come to the forefront during trials?
Yeah, I don't know. I was honestly just so excited to be there, you know, because 4 years ago I just missed making trials by about a half a second. So I feel like I had been preparing for that meet for 4 years, you know, mentally and physically. So I was just really ready to race and you know, swim well.
Yeah. Did you have a memorable moment of your own that, you know, you could wind back and think about in Omaha, knowing obviously that, you know, you were going to Rio?
Yeah. Not so much. Not like a specific moment. I think the thing I enjoyed most was watching the people who were second behind me, watching their faces when they made the team, because I knew I was ahead. So the realization kind of set in before I finished. But just watching those second place finishes and, you know, seeing their faces light up was a really special thing.
Well, when we come back, it's the trip preparation and all of the USA gear, the flight, the first sighting of the Olympic Village in Rio de Janeiro. The journey continues tonight with gold medalist Lily King and Blake Peroni. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's.
This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith.
Welcome back, everyone. Couldn't be prouder than the two guests tonight, gold medalist Lily King and Blake Peroni, as we come back. And, you know, we kind of told you what Indiana accomplished as the outstanding 2 weeks evolved over in Rio de Janeiro. But the Americans, a lot of red, white, and blue. The women led the way, dominated both the gold and overall goals. The U.S. finished with 46 of those gold medals and 121 overall. And that 51 total medal margin over second place China was the largest in a non-boycotted Olympics in Olympic history. And so we welcome back. All right, so we leave Omaha and get ready. I know we had a little gathering for the placement, the team processing. Before you went, you were outfitted with the red, white, and blue. Lily, what was that like, that experience?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. We went through team processing right before we left Omaha. So we actually got a bunch of our stuff, before we came home. So that was really cool just to get all of our, like, USA Swimming stuff and then, try on all of our, Nike and Ralph Lauren stuff. That was pretty cool. But then once we got to Rio, we got all the rest of the stuff. So I think we came back with a total of 3 bags. So, yeah, it was, like, a lot.
Well, I was going to ask you, how many bags did you take with you then, Blake, on that flight?
Well, I only took one big suitcase there, okay. But I came back with 3.
You came back with 3?
Yeah.
Okay, so you get there. How long was the flight, Lily?
It was about 10 hours, so not too bad.
Now, did you guys, travel together? By that, I mean, the entire Team USA all went as a group. I mean, how many Olympians were on that plane?
Yeah, the whole swim team was on the same.
The entire.
Yeah, we took a charter on the way down. So
gotcha.
That's pretty nice.
Gotcha. Well, what was your Lily? What was your favorite part once you got there? First of all, what was your impression? Here you are in a country, and there's Rio, and the Olympics just a few days away.
Yeah, the village was pretty similar to World University Games last summer, so in that aspect, I wasn't too surprised or excited. I guess several skyscrapers, of apartments, and then, kind of a common area, in between the buildings, and then, the big dining hall that's probably 2 football fields long.
Bigger. How was the grub? How was the food?
It was pretty good. It progressively got better and better as the games went on.
Now, Lily, did you have a chance to bond with, once you got settled in, other than your own teammates, did you have a bond with any of the other Olympic athletes once you were there?
Yeah, I think we, the Americans, tend to talk to the Australians a lot and the Canadians, so typically the English-speaking countries, I guess, get along a little bit better than the others.
Well, did you have any worries about Zika at all or anything,
No, virus? Actually, I didn't even see, like, a single mosquito, uh-huh. But...
Yeah, I didn't get bit by a mosquito until, like, the last day, and I wasn't anywhere close to the village.
Did you guys have a chance to march in the opening ceremonies?
I did not.
I didn't either.
Okay. I just wanted to ask that. But how did you kind of, Blake, separate business with pleasure? I mean, you enjoyed yourself, or I know you were focused, both of you, but how'd you kind of handle that?
Right, so we actually got to the village about 6 days before I swam. So all of that week was like just preparation and more taper and coming down off yardage, and then after the swim I hung out with the other people that were done with their races and supported the team in the stands, and you were saying if we had any interactions with other countries, and a few of the guys we had a soccer match with the French swim team. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, I hope you got the W, did you?
Yeah, I don't think we kept score.
Oh, you did. It didn't end up in a tie, did it?
I don't think so.
You didn't have any penalty kicks or anything like that to settle things?
No.
Lily, tell us about the swimming venue itself. We went from where it was in Omaha in a basketball arena to a true Olympic pool. Were you pretty much satisfied before you got churning?
Yeah, the pool was absolutely gorgeous. It was kind of open air, but it was still covered, so... it was a little weird in that aspect, but it was definitely smaller than it was at Trials, so I wasn't really expecting that. But yeah, it was pretty much the same pool that we swam at Trials. It was a Mirtha pool, which is like a temporary pool that they take up and down. So You know, everything was the same. You know, a pool's a pool.
You know, we talked about the large volume. I think we had 11 total that went to the Olympic Games representing Indiana University. But I got to ask you both, Lily, I'll start with you. How comfortable was it, you know, having Coach Luz in Rio as assistant women's coach?
Yeah, that was great. You know, Ray coaches all my breaststroke workouts, so having your specialty coach there, you know, for just being in Rio and then for the month before at training camp was really great, just having a familiar face and, you know, not having to change workouts up too much or so many different people, so that was really nice.
How about you, Blake?
Yeah, it was really nice having Ray there. You know, the other athletes that don't have a home coach there have to adapt to a new coach's style, and that wasn't an obstacle for us.
You know, I talked to Ray, and we'll have him on at halftime via tape, and Ray's out recruiting right now, and we'll have him in, Yogis, along with Cody Miller a little bit later in the fall, and then Drew Johansson and Michael Hickson as well. But Ray said he about, I don't know if it was your gold or your gold, he had to put it in his pocket or put it on him, and he was losing weight anyway, and his britches about fell down. Those are doggone.
Yeah.
Now, have you weighed that? You asked that question, that gold medal. Now, how much does that weigh?
I don't know.
Huh?
I haven't weighed it yet. They're very heavy,
it's
though.
It's pretty heavy, though.
Boy, yeah, they're unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, you know, we talked about the early stages, and while we're talking about Ray Luz, I mean, he brought you here. And Lily, we had touched on this when we had you in after your spectacular Big Tens prior to your NCAAs. But what do you recall in your recruitment by coach? And really, what was the determining factor you landing here and enrolling at IU to continue your swimming career?
Yeah, Ray absolutely out-recruited every other coach from all the other schools that I was looking at. I remember, so the first day that you can have contact with the coaches is July 1st, and he was at my doorstep at 10 a.m. on July 1st. So he was definitely, I just felt more comfortable with him, and I felt like I knew him better, and the program I knew really well, because my club coach swam here. And it just really felt like home. I loved the team and the program, and it was just the right fit.
And you fell in love with the campus once you, and that was exclamation point on you arriving at Indiana U. How about you, Blake? What the neat thing is and what Coach Luz has done in really rebuilding this entire program, men and women, is in-state kids. Yeah. You hail from Chesterton. Your residence is in Valpo nearby. But what do you recall in your recruitment with Coach?
Yeah, well, Ray by far had the most interest in me than any other coach. And so that's kind of what got me to take an official. And I had a few other friends in Indiana swimming growing up, and they were also interested in Indiana. And then almost immediately after my official trip, after I met the other coaches and saw the campus and met the teammates, I just knew instantly that that's where I would fit in.
Well, they fit in and fit in well, and they fitted in awfully well, going for gold and winning gold and bringing it back as part of Indiana University. And our gold medalists on hand as we continue. Life-changing moments with both of our gold medalists, two of them tonight, Lily King out of Evansville and Blake Peroni from Chesterton. We'll be back. You're listening to more Olympic Homecoming here at Yogi's. We're live tonight. See you in a couple of minutes.
This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith.
Welcome back, everyone. A night to salute our Olympians on hand, gold medalist Lily King from Evansville and Blake Peroni from Chesterton, and 104.93. Gosh, that's quick. That's why it's an Olympic record, a new one. Liesl Jones of Australia, back in 08, 105.17. Lily King winning the gold with that 104.3, swam the semis in 105.7. And Lily, just talk a little about that. I know that was, or was it, was that you knew what the Olympic record was, but talk a little about the decrease in time and the increase by winning margin.
Yeah, I guess, well, in semis, I wasn't racing Yulia Fomova. And after, I guess the race had been hyped up so much that night, and the next day, I was just really ready to go, and I got a new suit on, so that helped a little bit, I think. But, yeah, I think it was just more excited to race.
You know, Lily's on her list now. She has become a list of eight female Indiana University medal winners, winning it. Margot Farrell did it when she was swimming for her native France in the 800 free. She won a bronze. But Lily, the first woman to win a gold since Jennifer Hooker Brenniger. She was a 15-year-old, grew up right here in Bloomington, went to Bloomington South, and now she is the Senior Assistant Athletic Director of Enrollment for IU Athletes. But quite a list. Cynthia Potter, the outstanding diver, won the 3-meter bronze. Kathleen Ellis, back in 1964, swam on a couple of relays. And the great Leslie Bush, in 1964, won the platform gold. And Lily now has etched her name there. I tell you, you know, we talk a little about, and there were 14 words that you authored. And my favorite line, there's a way to become the best and do it the right way. And I can't think of anything any prouder, all of us in this room. Talk a little about that. I mean, we know all a little about the, you know, the finger wave. And we had a head football coach, Lee Corso, that used to do this on television, on his television shows. And he used to do this, and they were talking about Indiana not having a chance in football. And Lee coached back. He said, not so fast, my friends. And when I saw that in the ready room, I mean, what went through your head, first of all, when you were told that the cameras were there and that you'd been on TV, basically, you know, telling the TV and the Russian girl, not so fast, my friend.
Well, pretty much once I was told that it had been filmed and aired on NBC, I guess my initial thought was, oh, crap. But then I was like, you know what, it's out there, and I need to speak up about why I did that and you know, explain my actions. And then I ended up kind of speaking out about, you know, how the doping culture is so prominent in swimming and, you know, basically in all the sports, and it needs to be addressed.
Well, it does indeed, and it was great. But, you know, that's part of your makeup, isn't it? It goes back to your upbringing. Talk about how it's become such a key fabric. You just didn't grab 14 words, and you had a little bit more to say, but there is a way to become the best and do it the right way. You were brought up that way.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I was taught early on that if, you know, something was not right or it bothered me or I thought it was unjust, I needed to speak up about it. And that's kind of where I went with it. And, you know, I do feel like putting in the work and practice still, you know, it still works. It still pays off. And you know, we shouldn't need to have this doping culture because, you know, that shouldn't be allowed.
You know, when you came back and we had a chance to talk to you guys when you were at Hinkey last week, I believe, last Friday, you know, it was brought up about now you being a poster child. Well, what's wrong with that? That's something you embrace.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the real thing is, it's sad that I have to be the poster child for it, because why do we need a poster child for, you know, playing fair and not cheating? But you know, I'm glad to do it since it is something that we need, and I'm just kind of rolling with it right now.
Well, you had that Olympic record, you had the gold in the 100 breast, and you quieted what's her name, Yulia Efimova. Well, you quieted her down. You still had the 200 breast ahead, and then obviously the medley relay. Talk about those two events, and you know, I think you made the comment to Michelle Tafoya, hey, you know, I was 12th in the finals there in the 200 breast, but hey, 12th in the world.
Yeah, you know, obviously disappointed with my swim in the 200. I went in not expecting to medal, but hoping to at least final. I think it was just, I was really tired coming back from the 100 and, you know, all the hype that had surrounded that race, and then I came into a 200 where I wasn't expected to do anything. You know, I always perform a lot better with more pressure, and I guess whenever the lights are bigger, I swim better. And they just weren't that morning or that night in the 200. And that's kind of how it worked.
Well, and then the quartet, the medley relay, brimming with confidence. You had, I mean, I could sense on my couch what was about to happen. How confident were the four of you? And did things go according to Hoyle? Because you know what? It looked awfully doggone good on TV.
Yeah. I mean, we were really confident going into that race. The Australians were, I think, the favorite to win before us. And you know, but after the meet happened and, you know, we saw the results from each of those hundreds, you know, backstroke, we had a silver medalist, you know, gold medal for me, bronze medal on our butterfly, and then a gold medal again on our freestyle. So we were pretty sure with that relay that we were going to take home the gold.
Well, you know, before we get talking with Blake, too, in the men's 4x1 in the free relay, and again, you know, confidence, I think, Blake, can be defined, you know, several ways, but how much did you have to maybe convince yourself once you were there, you knew what needed to be done? Talk about how that relates to you going about your business in your event on the biggest stage.
Right. Well, coming in, I did need a lot of convincing and upbringing and confidence, and a lot of the coaches there helped me with that. And in our meetings, they talked about, you know, you deserve to be here, and you're going to be on the morning, and you're going to do your job, and you have to believe that. And it's something that, like, grew on me, and eventually I did and was able to get it done.
Well, it was a memorable Sunday afternoon. Obviously, the next night, the American Relay team touched first with that blazing 309.92. But take us back to Sunday in the morning prelims. I mean, you were the setup man. I mean, you helped. They wouldn't have been where they were without you, Blake. You helped Team USA earn that two seed for the final, swimming, what was it, the third leg. And again, like Omaha, you just kept getting quicker and quicker. What was that time, 48.3? What do you recall about that?
Yeah, that was, like you said, that was the fastest time I've gone so far. So I was happy with that. And the race, I don't really know. It was, I went out pretty hard, and it hurt a lot on the way home. But, I mean, I was happy with the time.
You know, Dennis, I think Dennis Dale,
right.
I know he kind of works with the swimmers. I mean, here's a guy that spent almost three decades as the head coach up to, in Gopherland.
Yeah.
Up at Minnesota. He came to us a couple of years ago. I know he's worked in Indiana. You has really had a recent surge, if you will, not only internationally, but especially you sprinters wanting to come and swim at IU. Talk about that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. A lot of the performance, the increase in performance at Indiana can definitely be accredited to Dennis. And you know, he's really great at getting swimmers to buy into exactly what he thinks they should do, and you know, it shows up at the end of the season.
Well, it does, and it did, and you know, things move on, and I think anyway, the 2017 NCAAs are in Indy, aren't they?
Yes.
So you got to be looking forward to that in late March, that is just great news to hear there. Talk to me a little about, and again, Lily. And Lily King, Blake Peroni, joining us, our gold medalist from Rio de Janeiro. I was talking about confidence with Blake. How have you fine worked that within your trait of being where you are now?
Yeah, confidence is definitely a key to how I swim so well. I think it honestly kind of freaks my competitors out to see me, you know, smiling behind the blocks and being so ready to race. But really, you know, all it is that I've pretty much talked myself into winning. So, you know, I know that I put the work in, and I may not necessarily be the fastest racer, but I'm definitely the most well-prepared. So I think I use that to my ability to, you know, kind of show that confidence.
Well, you sure have, and boy, it's just going to be so neat to watch you compete. We hear that training is already underway for the upcoming season, and before you know it, September's Thursday. Then it's October. What are you expecting this year in the pool as far as the women go when things get, you know, into the dual meet season?
Yeah, we've got a really talented team this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, you finished seventh last year.
Yeah, we finished seventh last
year. Best
ever,
isn't it?
And we have two girls back this year who are both NCAA champions who both redshirted last year. So I think things are looking very, very good for us, you know, so. Hopefully we can pull out a top five finish.
How neat was it to see Kennedy Goss for her country, Canada, win the bronze in that relay?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, like Blake, she was on the morning swim, and, you know, she was obviously kind of upset she wasn't swimming at night. But, you know, and she told me, she's like, I don't want that bronze medal. I wasn't on the relay. But then she got it, and now she's kind of carrying it around everywhere. So it's pretty funny.
Well, last time we saw you, you had it in the CBS sack or two, but did they give you a box to, you know, something nice, you know?
Yeah. Well,
cherry wood box or something?
Yeah, pretty much. I got a really fancy box from 100 breast medal, but I haven't gotten a box yet for the relay medal because it was like the last night of competition. So I'm still waiting on my other box, but they're really heavy, so it's kind of a pain to carry them around.
Well, as I say, you came back and, you know, you've been in class now. This is the second week. But, Blake, what sort of fun things have you been asked to do upon your return to campus? What's it been like being Blake Peroni, gold medalist?
Well, the weekend of September 23rd, I'm going up to my hometown of Chesterton and going to be honored at a football game there, and it's homecoming weekend for
I hear you're Grand Marshal.
Yeah, yeah.
Salute, my man.
Thank you.
Well, I know they're all proud of you up there. How about you, Lily? Now, when I saw you last, you were getting ready to go down. That I-69 makes it a little easier
yes.
to get to your stomping grounds,
sure.
doesn't it, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty much a straight shot to Evansville, and there's nothing on the road, so it's pretty easy to get home now.
Yeah, you leave with a full tank of gas. That's
oh, yes, for sure. No gas station.
Well, talk about that. We heard you through. You went down to Evansville. The Otters play there, a minor league baseball club at Bossy Field. I hear you threw out the first pitch?
I did, and I didn't screw it up.
Well, what'd you throw, a fastball? Did you have a changeup or
no,
slider or what?
I just threw it in there, just hoping to find the catcher's mitt.
Yeah, because we had heard that Katie Ledecky threw a strike earlier last week at a game she was on. It, so she just was saying the same thing. Hey, Lord, let it get there and,
yeah.
not embarrass me. But, kids, when you get rolling now, there's a target there. But I know it's something that you both embrace. But the bigger the target, the better, Blake, for you now in competition when you get back in the dual meet and the Big Tens?
Yeah. Like Lily was saying, we got an amazing team this year.
Yeah, talk about the men's team.
Yeah. We have also divers that redshirted last year, and they'll be back. And if you actually put the points that they scored in my freshman year into the meet, that we would have been fifth at the NCAA championships this past year. So it's going to be a really good year.
Well, it is, and it will be here before you know it. And again, Grand Marshal up at Chesterton and the homecoming. But how about recognition on campus? I know when you were eating here at Yogi's, you've been in here before, both of you have. But we don't have a lot of gold medalists walk through the door. But how unassuming has it been? Or has it been, people recognize you and they want your autograph or a picture taken?
Yeah, it's been really cool. It's like, coming into some of my classes and some are like, did you swim in the Olympics? And I was like, yeah, I did. And they're like, oh, cool, can I have a picture? And it's really cool.
Well, how about you, Lily? I mean, around campus, can you get around okay? And
yeah, it's been all right. I feel like mostly athletes are kind of recognizing me. My largest class has 14 in it, so it really hasn't been too bad. I'm not walking into a lecture hall with 200 people, so. It hasn't been that bad, and I'm enjoying the ride right now.
Well, we talked a little about Lily King and her accomplishments, the first Indiana swimmer, man or woman, to win gold in an individual event. Jim Montgomery did it in the 100 free in 1976. This establishment, Yogi's, was a grocery store in 1970. And now I'm old enough to remember Jim Montgomery. I talked to him here, but the tradition, guys, when you came here, well aware of it. What's it mean to both of you now, to Blake, your junior year, Lily, your sophomore year upon us, to carry the tradition, knowing what you accomplished for yourselves, your country, your university, your hometowns, and what lies ahead?
Oh, it's very inspiring, and it's such an honor to be part of a team that's on its way back up to where it was in the 60s and 70s.
How about you, Lily?
Yeah, just walking into the pool every day and seeing all these pictures of, Mark Spitz and Jim Montgomery and all the legends that have come from IU, and knowing that we are a part of that now is pretty cool.
And finally, we'll let you go tonight, but, there's a part of winning your first Olympic gold medal, your favorite memory. I don't know. Lily, we'll ask you both. Was it the swim itself, looking at the scoreboard, hearing from your teammates cheering you, or getting the gold medal placed, or did it happen on the podium when the medal was there and the national anthem was playing?
Yeah, I think my favorite moment for me, probably when I touched the wall. After that 100, it was kind of a, all right, clean sport win, and everything was falling into place, and all the work that I put in, it's paying off, and I know that I'm doing what I should be, and that it's paying off again.
You are doing awfully well, young lady. And Blake, was there a moment? Talk about your moment winning that gold medal.
Yeah, my moment was probably after the guys won the 400 free relay in the finals, and I don't know if you knew who Ryan Held and Caleb Dressel are, but they were kind of breaking down and crying on the podium, and I met him kind of like backstage, and you know, I lived with these guys for a month now, and I knew how much it meant to them and how much it meant to all of us, and you know, gave him a hug, and it was something to remember.
Well, I know you, what was it like being one of the younger guys on what is most likely, you know, maybe he'll come out of retirement, but Michael Phelps, maybe, or is it? Maybe you can shed some light. Was it his last Olympic? Do you have any interaction with him? What kind of guy is MP?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I really liked him, and I got to become good friends with him on the trip. And no, I do believe him that he's retired this time.
He is retired. Yeah. What'd you learn from him? I mean, you sat with him. You say to either. I mean, obviously, once you got to know him and have a pretty good feel, did you take anything away from listening to Phelps?
He
told you?
Just being around him, I feel like I'm like a faster person, and I'm better at almost everything I do because he does everything that he does at such a high level, and no one else is there. So you're like, what is this guy doing? But he's like, you know, he's the best in the world. He's the GOAT.
Lily, did you have an opportunity?
Yeah, for sure. I actually got pretty close with Michael over the trip, which I was completely surprised by, because before he'd seemed very standoffish and you know, not really like, I guess, into being friendly with other teammates. But then, you know, as I actually got to know him more, realized that he's just such a great guy and a great leader and is always there for, you know, all of his teammates. It was a pretty cool thing to be a part of his last Olympics.
So, the more you got around him, he wasn't some stuck-up
right.
Superstar.
Exactly.
Right. He was down to earth,
yeah.
and part of Team USA and everything that went on.
Yeah, he was actually one of our captains.
Yeah, he is something else. Well, you know, it's a long time, but, you know, how old is he now? 31? 31?
Yeah.
So you guys got all kinds of time.
I don't know if I want to be swimming until I'm 31.
No, we're enjoying what you're doing right now. You're not even 20 yet. You're only, what, 19?
19.
You won't turn 20 till February,
right.
I don't think. Well, we know one thing, kids. You're Olympians forever and Olympia gold medalists forever, and something that will live with you forever. Thanks so much for being part of tonight and making us all proud. Indiana University, Bloomington, your hometown. Ladies and gentlemen, our gold medalists, Lily King and Blake Peroni. And we'll continue along and wrap things up. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, I tell you, that it doesn't get any better than talking to two great kids that made us all proud. And, the scary thing is their careers, we're still going to enjoy this for the next couple of years. And really, as we, on this show, we'll be embracing our other medalists. In time, we'll have Derek Druin. As we mentioned at the top, the first track athlete in 60 years to win an individual gold. And as soon as Ray Lewis is off the road recruiting, he's got stories to tell as well with his experience, not only of the young men and women that he has groomed since he's become the head coach at Indiana, but the stories from Rio and Michael Hickson, one of Drew Johansson's divers, and the whole catch of Indiana University athletes that made us so, so proud. And as I mentioned, when it was all said and done, those eight medals, five of them gold, and it was just awe-inspiring and just the tip of the cap to those young men and women. Well, earlier today in some other news and notes, congrats out to Todd Yeagley's Soccer Hoosiers. They move up to number 5 in the country. They had a great tournament up in South Bend at the Mike Berticelli tournament, winning both of those games, and Tanner Thompson is the offensive player of the week. We'll be talking to that Loomis Bay, California young man in time. He was named to the all-tournament team, and if you missed it, he scored the game winner against New Mexico, then added a goal and assist against UC Irvine, and we hadn't had one. The last Indiana player of the week in the Big Ten was Patrick Duty back in September of 2014. So congrats to Tanner Thompson. And, of course, ahead this weekend is the Big IU Credit Union Adidas Classic, California at 8:30 on Friday. And then on Sunday, Top-ranked Stanford will be the opponent under the lights on the Yeagley pitch at 7:30. So lots to look forward to in that regards, but I wanted to mention that. Well, we enjoy coming to Yogi's, and we're just getting started. We're kind of like the Tuesday night bill of fare. They got a big gig coming up. I'm leaving with the team tomorrow morning late to fly to Miami for the Miami-based Florida International game on Thursday. And kickoff will be at 7:30 right here on the big screen on ESPNU. But mark it down at 5 o'clock right here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. The happy hour launch party for the HT's Hoosier Sports Report. So they're going to have some fun here. You can check out the Hoosier Sports Report app. And if you've not had Yogi's appetizer bar, come on in Thursday at 5 o'clock and take advantage as well of all of the drink specials that will be here. And obviously, that's just getting in the right frame of mind, because you can stay and obviously watch, but you get a free T-shirt, you can enter, win prizes, and lots more. And that is Thursday from 5 until 7:30, right up until kickoff time on Thursday, the first day of September. Happy hour launch party right here at Yogi's, and you are invited to hear more about the Hoosier Sports Report. By the way, mentioning Yogi's, we always, since we've been back with our employee of the week and a young lady that does a bang-up job for Ron and his crew here, the Yogi's employee of the week is Pat Skeleton. So congrats out to Pat. And don't forget, too, Yogi's brunch every Sunday from 11. You can't go wrong with that, only $9.95. So if you've not been in after church, you can come in from 11 until 2 on Sundays, and they've got all great stuff for you. Brunch right here at Yogi's from 11 until 2. Other things going on tonight, of course, Reds baseball against the L.A. Angels. First pitch at about 10:05 tonight, pregame at 10. Elsewhere on our calendar, we got a busy, busy week. In the Zone, David Glass and your phone calls at 6. More Reds baseball tomorrow night, but it will be earlier. In essence, it's a late afternoon 4 o'clock game out at Los Angeles. It'll be 7 o'clock with the pregame on Wednesday night. And then, of course, the Colts will wrap up their preseason against the Cincinnati Bengals over at Paul Brown Stadium in the Queen City. And air coverage, Bob Lamy in his pregame show at 6:30. And, of course, Kevin Wilson starting season number 6 at 7:30. I mentioned the IU Credit Union Adidas Classic, what with Indiana now the fifth-ranked team in the country. Let us not forget, and Amy Burberry's women had an outstanding weekend via the shutout route as they won two games, their first two of the year. They'll be in the Hoosier Cup Challenge this weekend at home out on the Yeagley pitch. They play Friday and again on Monday. It is the holiday weekend, so put that on your calendar. 3 o'clock for the Friday match for Amy's crew out at Armstrong Stadium. And then SMU comes in at 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Finally, our high school football bill of fare, with me being with the Indiana Hoosiers on the road. I don't think I can complete the daily double. The team's coming back to Monroe County International at about 4:05 Friday morning early. That being said, we'll still be on the air with high school football. Ninth-ranked 6A, Columbus North. They're unbeaten. It is the Conference Indiana opener as the North Cougars. Boy, if you're a Cougar fan, you're out there listening or can hear me tonight, the Cougars have a brand-new video scoreboard that is unbelievable, I hear. It is gigantic. So I think things are going to be operational for the new scoreboard as the Cougars come home. It's their home opener. And John Callahan will have Chalk Talk with Scott Bless at 6:30. And Dave Novak and John will handle the kick at 7 o'clock in the game coverage. Elsewhere, Bloomington South is up to 6th in the state polls after taking care of business with Martinsville. Their Friday game, also a Conference Indiana opener at 7:30. Edgewood plays on the road at 7 o'clock against the Cloverdale Clovers. So that about takes care of everything we have to offer. And again, it was just great spending the time and learning about the journey of two Hoosier kids that were born and raised in the state of Indiana. one from Evansville, Lily King, the other, Blake from Valparaiso. Chesterton High School is where he grew up, and just great stories, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to, don't forget, we have it up on our website, or will, WGCLradio.com, and of course, News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370. We will recap some of the goings-on and some of the conversation we had tonight. So for all of our folks responsible, the staff here at Yogi's, for our producer, Will Boatman, and for our on-site producers, Joanna and Mike Glasscott, Jamie Till, our producer, or rather our engineer from Fort Wayne, helped out on the broadcast as well. And again, our employee of the week, Pat Skeleton, here at Yogi's Grill and Bar. You've been listening to a very special night on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone, from Yogi's.